Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Business news, views, and insights from across the globe.
Welcome, everyone, to Hidden Growth Champions, our podcast series. This is the beginning of our second season. We've had a terrific first season where we've looked at a multitude of amazing organizations and leaders who've really taken them into new spaces, who've transitioned into the unknown, disrupted themselves. This season, we're going to continue those conversations with a little bit of a twist. We're going to talk a little bit more about how they've gone about it. What are the kind of things they've engaged in that they believe made them progress along the transition? And I'm so glad today to kick off our second season with an amazing lady, with Nombasa Tsengwa, who is the MD of Minerals at Exxaro Resources, a listed entity and a very credible and reputable player in the resources sector, a sector that I've been speaking about on the podcast series for a while now. Nombasa, really thank you for joining us. I'm delighted to have you on our podcast series. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, and good afternoon, Sar. And I'm very happy to be part of this podcast series and being at the beginning of the new season. You know, I hope that actually, is an interesting one. And I'm really looking forward to chatting to you. Well, you've already said who I am and what I do, but a little bit of my background. I have trained as a genetic engineer. I have a PhD in that space, which, today I find myself being a miner. And, because of a lot of reasons, but my interest has really been in mining and really like what I do because it's such a practical space. I love to see what I do. And it's a space which came with a lot of learning for me, with a lot of growth, something that I really enjoy as a person and also in organizations where I work to see progress and to see that, you are creating value, not just from yourself or out of yourself, but out of the organization that you are involved in. Born South African, rural girl, as I call myself, and I had an opportunity to study in South Africa, but also overseas in America. That's where I did my PhD. And more than 20 years experience in the private sector, which I've really enjoyed thoroughly as I have been operating at an executive level. Having entered the private sector at the level of a general manager of safety, health and environment, in Kumba Resources at the time, which is all of us know is one of the parent companies of Exxaro today, which I really enjoyed thoroughly coming at that level. And I've been serving in an executive level at Exxaro. And I, at some point, had to knock on the door of operations. And I was then appointed to run operations, obviously from a slightly different level from where I am now to when I graduated to be the MD of Minerals. A very enjoyable journey indeed.
Yeah, it really sounds that way. And I mean, just I'm thinking the transition from science into business, into the application of it must be absolutely fascinating. So I guess, and I'm sure we'll delve into it a little bit later in our discussion, your perspective of the world, your how you solve problems, how you look at issues now in a corporate environment. But I'm just going to start off with, every organization we work with, and this is a bit of an observation, is unique. There's something special about every organization we have the privilege of engaging with. And one of the things I really wanted to ask you as we kind of kick off this discussion is, having been with Exxaro Resources, both in its current form and in the earlier days, the earlier generations of it, going back all the way to Kumba Resources, what makes Exxaro a special place for you?
Wow. Very good question you asked me, because I mean, Exxaro Resources doesn't stop to amaze me in terms of just the evolution of the company itself in terms of what it offers to its own employees and also what it offers to the marketplace. And its ability to look at itself critically and continuously disrupt itself into something that is more relevant. And I must say, if you look at the last, I would say, you know, since 2016, when Xolisa Mgojo became our CEO, this became such a practical, you know, movement in our organization that we cannot be happy with what we are today and therefore engaged everybody. I mean, we had to talk to every employee in the organization, making sure that we really expand, you know, the bandwidth within which we were talking and trying to influence the organization to come to the party to create the Exxaro that we've become today. That of reinventing itself from a company that for many years has always been a resource-based company, whose roots had been in mining over many years, something that we've done very well. And over many years, we had to reduce our commodity base into the fourth biggest coal producer in South Africa. And obviously, we have other equity investments. And we looked at the future of mining, especially the future of coal. And we were very clear that we had to think differently about the future of our business. And with this culture of innovation, the culture of reinventing ourselves, that culture became key to make sure that we can enroll the entire organization to take us to the future that we anticipate, a culture of being a resource company still, but, you know, of much more cleaner resources and commodities than we have seen as we have been a fossil fuel company in the form of the coal business. And I think, you know, the market has noticed what Exxaro is trying to do, and the recognition that Exxaro has made of saying that, look, we may be a dominant fossil fuel company today, but we are very clear and very committed to participate in the energy transition that the whole world is engaged in. And we will start in South Africa and make sure that we make our first steps known in this country. As you may have seen, our acquisition of the 50% of Tata, having partnered with Tata for many years, and which really is an indication that we want to be part of this energy transition by participating in the development of renewable energies, which can eventually contribute to a greener economy in this country. So we have really had a company in action, a company on the move. On the basis of the solid coal business, we have seen ourselves really transition quite quickly to get into the cleaner energy space. We also realize in this whole process this transition and a company that is busy disrupting itself, that we cannot leave our roots behind, which has been mining. And quickly, our people and our teams have taken on this new challenge of developing a new core business in the mineral space, which will really stand strong next to our energy business. So I really like you know, what we've done, the practical part of moving and disrupting ourselves and evolving ourselves to something else, something new. Really excited about that. And also, the way Exxaro has embraced diversity, for me, you would not find in other companies. And I must say, I am an example of someone, as I've mentioned to you, who was never a mining engineer, who was really given an opportunity during Kumba days, even then, to be the leader in this environment and also to move into the hardcore mining side of the business, which is unheard of, as I said, in many companies. And therefore, I think it is really, for me, a company that is transformative, as I've mentioned, not only just from a business point of view, but also from a people point of view. So really exciting to be a part of a company. And another part which has been very exciting, which I've seen happen in front of my eyes, has been this whole transformation of operations and our business model through the taking advantage of the 4IR technologies, digitalizing our operations to a point where one day, given Exxaro's ambitions, we may see ourselves running fully automated operations. So working for such a vibrant, such a transformative, visionary company like we are, I think for me, it is testimony to that Exxaro being a top employer or in 2021, which we are very proud of, which has just been announced a few days ago. So very exciting company to work for, Sir.
You've picked up on a few really, really important points. Let's perhaps kind of tackle them one at a time. I guess the one I wanted perhaps to start with is you spoke about the minerals business, and I would expect that wasn't simply an epiphany that just happened on one day, that you woke up in the morning and said, we've got to do this. Talk us a little bit about the process of exploration, the process by which you as a leadership team and as a board came to the realization that this was the right time and this was the right shift, the direction in which the company should take. Does make for very crucial conversation that take place in leadership teams. And I'm just kind of curious as to what was that process for you like? What did you observe and how did you see that taking place in Exxaro?
Yes, I think we had always had a very disciplined process of reviewing our strategy on a yearly basis. And we often do an excursion of what is going on outside ourselves, which really comes up with elements that we have no control over. And obviously we look internally on things that we have a control over. And something that has been a red flag for us for quite some time has been this whole issue of climate change and how were we going to respond to it. And I think initially it was a matter of just risk mitigation. How do we reduce our carbon footprint? How do we make sure that we improve our energy efficiencies? How do we improve even the participants' contribution in our value chain in terms of how they, you know, we can, you know, drive, you know, procurement policy to sort of push those individuals or parties to comply to cleaner energy options, up to a point where we realized that that was not going to be enough. You know, especially after COP21, where it was very clear that the whole world, including the private sector, needs to party, you know, governments, NGOs, and ourselves in particular, needed to partner to make sure that we move the needle in as far as the transition to a much cleaner world than what we were doing. Otherwise, we were never going to achieve this 1.5 degree or even 2 degree scenario that the whole world is trying to push for. And therefore, we committed as an organization that we need to put a strategy that explores beyond just coal, looking at our capabilities, making sure that we can utilize our capabilities and repurpose them towards either commodities or other business areas that could augment the coal business to the extent that when the demise of the coal business hits us, we would have been far ahead in terms of making sure that we're sustaining Exxaro's business. And I think it could have been about 3 years ago, where our board said to us, guys, we can open the doors for you to go and explore. What is it that you can do beyond coal? And as I mentioned earlier, fortunately, the issue of energy and the need for cleaner sources of energy and the challenges around renewable energies and as far as the storage part of the transitioning, and the initial cost of renewable energy, it had always been our concern. as we were involved in this 50% Tata JV, where we owned these two wind farms in the Eastern Cape. And we were always asking ourselves, you know, where do we take these assets? Yes, we have got 50%. There is an opportunity out there in the world where renewable energies has got to be developed to the extent that we can really sustain or create sustainable businesses out of it. It really was very clear to us that that probably is one of our great stepping stones that we cannot let go. And hence that acquisition of that 50% of Tata. But that cannot end there. The opportunities are coming up in this country. There are a lot of opportunities in the African continent where we can actually be in line with our own purpose of empowering lives and bettering lives in Africa and beyond. And we think that this energy space becomes one of those. Then on the side of what then do we do with our mining capabilities, we realize that the challenge that we're facing right now is not mining itself. What we were facing is the commodity that we mine. And therefore, we will repurpose our mining capabilities away from coal to go into other commodities. And I must say that we were very fortunate to meet companies like Accenture's actually that assisted us to look into, if then we're looking at minerals, what can we be focusing on? What will really make sense? What would be growth minerals into the future that could really yield value without really having to worry about what we experienced in terms of the coal demise? And that happened at the time where we didn't need to convince anybody because we could see from a market point of view how difficult it has been to secure insurance for mining projects in coal, for new projects, for old renewals of these insurances. Very difficult. We've seen a lot of banks that have turned their banks from coal financing, and it was not really that difficult for us to start really getting into motion and putting that strategy, obviously, with the assistance of Accenture. I really must say that we had to move at speed in putting a concept that could make sense to the board. And there it was. And we were able to get an approval of three commodities. And we have not been to the market yet with those commodities, even though we already mentioned to the market that we have a strength in minerals and therefore, we want to divert our mining capabilities to make sure that we develop a very strong business, Exxaro, that will not just be viewed as a coal business to the extent that we have set a target for ourselves that by 2050, we want to be a carbon neutral company. And I must say that also required us to look at our strategy, coal strategy in particular, in a responsible way. To say that even though we know that coal will one day and not be you know, as profitable or as important in economies of the world, how do we manage this business in a responsible manner that still realizes that as part of the energy transition, you are still going to need coal for Eskom in particular and for other electricity generation of other countries in the world. And we cannot just drop the coal like a hot potato. We have to participate in this transition in a responsible manner, make sure that we try to get value early from the coal business whilst we transition at speed in developing our energy core and also our minerals core. So that is something that I would say has happened in the last 3 years to see us today starting what we, as you probably have, or people have already read, the development of a new division in Exxaro, which is the energy division, that is going to have its own set of skills, which we've already gotten, well-equipped and well positioned. And I must also compliment your company, Accenture, again, for assisting us in making sure that that solid foundation is put on the table so that we can start allocating resources into what we call our new energy business. And we are finding ourselves today having also put out a set of new skills in our organization, more in the business development side, who are going to come and help us implement this mineral strategy so that sooner than later, we can see ourselves growing a business of these two major cores beyond the core business.
Yeah. Nabasa, very much appreciated. I just want to go back to something that you've said that was really profound and it keeps on ringing in my mind. You spoke about, you've realized that it was the commodity, not the capabilities, that was the issue. And that's a very mature way of looking at it. If you think, we often associate in our minds capabilities, the things that we can do, the things we're capable of, the things that we can stretch for in the context of a business unit, a commodity, a market, a customer, and it almost becomes kind of part of our identity. Now, the ability to separate those two, to look at capabilities in a very kind of impartial way and ask, what could we do with this that may be not related at all to the commodity? That's a very mature way of looking at it. Now, perhaps take us a little bit into the into those discussions. Now you've had three commodities you could look at. You've had the board support. Yeah. And now you could see that some of your capabilities could be used elsewhere. How did you go about starting to repurpose them, to change them? What did that involve? And where did people kind of feature into this equation? I'd love for you to share with our audience a bit more about that.
Absolutely. That's a great question you're asking, because oftentimes when companies are transitioning, they fail to involve the workforce because there is a lot of wisdom in the people, and even more so in Exxaro. We've got individuals in Exxaro who have been part of the old ISCO, which is the old parent of Exxaro, even before we were Kumba Resources. People who fully understood how made this company thrive and what makes it thrive today. And some of those capabilities which we could really step back and identify as critical. As you know, we were working together on this during those early days of conceptualization, SAR, where we had to put great teams and knowledgeable team of senior members in this organization to go back and really do an analysis of what those critical competences that we can really go to market with. And we, at that time, looking as well, we were really in an excursion, also looking at, is there anything else in parallel to, or as a, an industry that is an adjacent one to coal that we can probably participate in terms of application of those commodity, of those competencies. And I must say that those different inputs from those different workshops that we've ran and really going through a benchmarking that you guys assisted us with in terms of how do companies transition, how far from our core should we pivot, and looking at successes of companies that may have pivoted too far from its core. And I think we had our own examples in Exxaro, where we had attempted to innovate a bit far from our core. Our core at the time was mining, even though we were mining coal, and it was energy because we were already in the synergy business, where we ventured into spaces where we had to learn very quickly. So we had to go everywhere to look for all of those lessons, to do an excursion internally, to identify the fact that, if we say, for instance, one of the core competencies that we found was the whole issue of metallurgy and processing of ore. And where does that take you logically? It says to you that there are many ores out there that are not in the category of core, that these skills can be applied to, and you know, there would be obviously also rewarding you or giving you returns that you are looking for. So I think for me that was a great journey of doing all of that work, and then having to match that skill with the choice of commodities that we went for, which we say that we cannot try to, in this whole value chain of mining, we cannot also start at a space which is more sophisticated or which is not in the space of our comfort areas, but we use our core competencies of today as our stepping stones to grow, even though it may be in the future horizons of growth. But for this first horizon, we just bed down that which we know. And I think what made us also get confidence in the choices that we made of these competencies was that of, if we are going to transition at speed, we've got to transition, you know, through a vehicle that we've already utilized, a vehicle and capabilities that we've already, that have already worked for us, that can prove that the business can be sustained on. So I'm willing to answer any specific questions if there's anything more that you may require in terms of how we could have gone through this process.
No, I mean, this is really fascinating, because I think it demonstrates to many people listening of how human, how personal this journey actually is. Yes, there's sets of data, and yes, there are recommendations, and yes, there's a lot of good analysis that gets done. But ultimately, what you're describing is a group of people within the organization who care about the organization, who want the organization to transition and succeed, and you have to make some difficult decisions. You've got to look at your own capabilities differently. You've got to stretch yourselves and reach a different conclusion than you could in the current core business.
And also, you know, what was critical, I mean, you keep on triggering my thoughts. You know, the key to any success of a strategy to get people with you is to give them hope, especially when businesses transition. People tend to see closure. Now we are going to stop. One day we will lose jobs. We won't have any jobs. We will all of a sudden now have to be retrenched from this company. I'll be a miner sitting at home. But you are saying to the organization, if we work together as a company, as I said earlier, that keeps on reinventing itself, if you become part of this journey and you contribute, we can co-create the future of the company so that all of us can still continue to have jobs, because we take that which we know, we apply it into something new. And that's where innovation for me really comes in. That actually is a characteristic of Exxaro, especially, as I said, under our new CEO since 2016. Therefore, it's really something that for me goes beyond just a co-creation. But a guy goes home saying, even if coal won't be there tomorrow, I'll still be mining at Exxaro, even if I'm mining a different commodity.
I can certainly see the link to hope here, and to people kind of seeing it through their own eyes and seeing that there is a future. I guess a related question for me is, as we talk a little bit more about some of the leadership lessons that you've learned and that your team has experienced through this, is the concept of challengers. So let me give some context first. I had a fascinating conversation this morning when we spoke about a different industry, quite far away from mining and resources, but also facing its own disruption. And what came up during that discussion was what a critical role sometimes individuals play as challengers to the business. They may have not been challengers in their old role, but the minute they were given an opportunity to participate in creating the new, they could bring different perspectives to the table. They could ask different questions. Some of them just had good timing. They just knew how to kind of perfectly time the questions. So we all kind of looked at each other and went, that's a great question. And that kind of helps the team move forward. And I remember even in our work together, there were individuals who kind of stood up and asked some darn good questions in the process. So I just wanted you perhaps to kind of reflect and share with us a little bit about the, you know, perhaps an example of someone in your team that has, you know, that has shown themselves to be a challenger, and whether that was useful or valuable for the rest of the team as we kind of all grapple with how do we transition into the new and how would it work, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really fascinated by that, and I wanted your view on that.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to mention names, of course, but I'm going to really pick up a moment that I will remember. The moment that I remember in this transition and the journey we're in, when we were looking at what is the next core, we were actually talking about the second core. There was never any discussion about a third core. And I think the obvious for us was to invest in the energy business and grow it further. And I think there had been fears in the team and individuals looking at each other's eyes, and we know each other, and looking at individuals who were really supportive of the energy business as a second core. But there were people in their eyes just looking for something else. And the ideas of coming back from, we are still in coal, but you know, this energy space is growing very well. We need to jump into the energy space. But there had been no, and I'll come to why were people also so worried and not sure where they were fitting into this whole space, besides seeing themselves losing jobs. But yes, there was just this frustration of, yes, we know that we need to get into the second core, but do we really have all the elements, or do we have all the resources to transition ourselves at speed? That was for me one of the critical things to say. It's not about not knowing that the core business is going down. What we know is that it will go down. But what we are not talking about is how quickly do we get to the second core? So that whole issue of transitioning at speed came in that conversation. That then said, even the way we do capital allocation is going to be different. And therefore, we need to do things differently. So it sort of brought in a new way of thinking in the how of we were going to transition. Now, let's come back to an individual that was in the conversation when we were talking about the capabilities. And that question came, I think I'm going to mention it because I'm talking to you. I think that question came from you, sir, when you asked us to say, what is the problem? Is the problem the coal, the commodity that you guys are mining, or mining is not an issue? I think you asked us that question. And I think that rang a bell to all of us to say, actually, we've been wanting to go that way, but it looked like, and it seemed like we were not winning in the conversation in the organization because of our being blinded by, you know, pushing the energy line. And I think you challenged us very, very well there for us to think. And I think that's where minerals were born, and that whole idea of, you know what, we still have a chance in exploring these commodities. I think for me, that challenged us very, very well. So the challenges of how we get there, the transitioning at speed, was new language that was developed and that we used amongst each other to make sure that we do things differently. We look at bringing the resources quickly and be bold. And those bold steps we're talking about of let's go get what we don't have. And I think everybody would bought into that philosophy of how we were going to do things, to the extent that we were able to put measures in place. Or our key operational, I would say, measures of how we were going to measure whether we were making progress along the way.
And I must say, I think the team really then proceeded with great speed. It's almost like the clarity kind of descended and people really then got to work, right? And I think they've made, in a space of a few months, they've made such tremendous progress.
It took people out of a rut. Where people were reminiscing too much about the so-called runway, which we abandoned, if you remember.
Yes.
That people were just locked into, okay, now how long is coal going to remain strong? And we said, but that shouldn't be the issue. The issue is, how do you transition at speed so that you don't have to worry about the so-called runway? And actually, it changed really the way people looked at the solution and the strategy itself, and how we solved that problem. It was very fast-tracked. It changed the way of making decisions. We saw solutions differently. So yeah, it still works today.
Yeah. I'm conscious that we're talking with the mining in Daba happening literally, I think if I remember correctly, as early as next week. I know it's virtual. It's a big event, and normally we would get on a plane and all meet there. But it's not going to happen this year. We're all going to get onto our computers and log in and listen. I mean, there's a really nice lineup of...
We save a lot of money from traveling as well.
Yes, exactly. But one of the things that a regular to this event, Marco Tifani, who I'm sure you know, was the CEO of Anglo. He coined it really nicely when he talked about the need for mining to reimagine itself.
And
he spoke about collaboration and broader partnerships. So once you are, as your own organization, progressing with greater speed, you've kind of taken yourself out of that, you call it the mental rut, or a mental, perhaps a better word would be kind of a mental framework that wasn't working for you anymore. And now you're kind of thinking, what collaboration, what partnerships, how do we get even greater speed with others? If I had to ask you, now that you're looking at these new commodities, where, if you had to describe a successful, a thriving mining company 5 or even 10 years down the road, perhaps similar to the one you're sculpting at the moment, what would be the distinguishing features? What would be the kind of things that, not just for you internally behind closed doors, gets discussed, but the kind of things you can share with broader societal partners that says, wow, we managed to reimagine mining?
Yeah. Look, there are two big things for me that come to mind that have happened in the recent past that says to me, the mining company of the future can never be the same as business as usual or as mining companies of the past, where, you know, developments, especially technological developments. I mean, we've been stuck in the third industrial revolution for quite some time. And the mining industry itself has not gone through much technological advancements. You could not, I mean, we still use more or less the same technologies that is now 5 years ago. You know, it was always predictable in terms of how operations are run. And so the fourth industrial revolution is one of those, for me, biggest highlights of the last few years that are giving this industry an opportunity to reinvent itself. The other thing that for me has also happened just recently, which is 2020, has been the impact of COVID-19 up to what we experienced to date. So I want to combine both to say, for me, whether you're looking at COVID or you are looking at other disruptions that could have been imposed by other players because of 4IR, you first need to have a company that is very sensitive to change, that is able to continuously look externally to itself and view that which can potentially disrupt it. That for me becomes, you know, you need a company that has got a very strong radar system that uses, again, the how for me is you do need to have a strong team internally that drives your strategy, that has got foresighting capabilities that can build different scenarios to really help the organization to flex and repurpose itself. So those are critical capabilities that I think companies need so that we can see well in advance that I need now to rejig myself. And for me, what I can share that we've done as Exxaro, when we saw that the services industries and other industries were, and the transport industry, which is part of the services industry to some extent, where in the banking industry were busy reinventing themselves, they were adopting the digital capabilities. We started asking ourselves, to say, how do we actually apply these new capabilities in our operations? So that ability to enable your operations or your business using new technologies, applying all of those capabilities to really improve efficiencies, to always take out the unit cost that is associated with mining in particular. And we were able to do that. And we can talk a bit about how we did that. But an organization that aspires, to transform itself by taking all of those new capabilities. And as I said, we were able as Exxaro to create visibility across our value chain, something that costs us a lot of money, a lot of time. Creating inefficiencies in mining is not to see a flow of or mass flow of your product, from pit to port. So you need to enable your operations such that you have continuous operations, whether you are hit by COVID or whether you are hit by some kind of a market slump, you are able to determine what your at least minimum production levels would be, and being able to flex your operation to operate remotely. You can connect your individuals to also be able to work and empower your people to work remotely and with purpose and in time. So for me, having that autonomy in terms of autonomous applications in your operations becomes, for me, very critical. The other part for me that would define great companies going forward, whatever happens, is a company that has got an eye on its finances and its own liquidity, finding means to conserve and generate cash, and also increase your access to funding, understanding what the impacts of the disruption is. If it's COVID, you've got to understand how much is COVID going to impact me from a bottom line point of view, so that we are able to report on it, but at the same time, you are able to monitor it and innovate around it. And we've already talked about this whole issue of operational continuity. You want to make sure that you are able, from a digitally transformed organization, to have continuous operations, and also your supply chains. I've seen a lot of challenges where companies were disrupted by COVID and their supply chains were completely decimated. They have no ways of sourcing their supplies. And I think to diversify your value chain, your supply chain, looking at options and enabling some of the suppliers to be local so that you can at least manage some of the offshore risks that sometimes people would would experience. And then lastly, for me, you need to stay connected to your employees at all times. Your employees must not sit there and not know where you're taking the organization, especially during COVID for me, where employees were so insecure in as far as their own welfare. People were getting retrenched from different companies. And there was just fear and disdain everywhere in the industry. Therefore, I feel that you need to have mechanisms to stay in touch, you know, with your own employees, also to stay in touch with your stakeholders. So that would be the critical things that I would say here in terms of your try to empower your teams to be able to work anywhere they are. So, you know, autonomous teams, your finances, your liquidity must make sure that you are looking at all the levers, you know, to generate new revenue streams and make sure that you preserve cash. You look at CAPEX that is a strategic nature that actually going to be aligned with your growth. And you really look at staying connected to your employees. I've already mentioned the issue around the supply chain issues. And then really stay connected to your own people, motivate them wherever they are, because they will continue to deliver, and also keep in touch with your stakeholders and communities where you operate.
Yeah, I guess, Nambasa, you're alluding to something that's critical, but often forgotten or not given attention to in organization. It's very easy to get cooped up by or inspired by the transition, the change, what the world would look like after we complete this transition, that you don't give enough attention to getting fit, getting better, yeah, at still getting up early in the morning and doing your exercises. What I'm hearing from you, those were some of the critical things that actually managed to get you to transition well and at speed.
Yes, it's not absolutely.
One versus the other, the one enabled the other.
Yes. And also, we always say there's something we call, please protect the seed, meaning what we did in Exxaro and what I continuously request from my colleagues, our seed, or let me not say what will create the seed to germinate, is the coal business. So when you want to develop something new, try to stay a little bit at the periphery of your cash cow today. Because once you think that you're going to disrupt everything that you have right now, you may even disrupt that which is generating your cash, you know, that will enable your growth. So you need to be very clear to say, I'm not going to touch that which I know that, over time, you know, it will run its course. But rather you pay attention on something that you know that is growing, and then you really experiment there and try to mold that and keep the cash cow for now and really protect it as much as possible.
Yes. I know we're getting to the top of the hour, so one last quick question. Where you have the opportunity of speaking to other executives and perhaps those in other industries, could be a banker facing open banking, it could be a pharmaceutical executive looking at how the industry is changing and how new forms of competition are coming in. There's so many good examples out there. What are the kind of things that they, as they kind of ponder about their runway, what are the kind of advice that you want to give them?
I think for me, it's really going back to the basics of the business to really first understand what your purpose is and what your vision is, so that whatever comes in the process of reinventing yourself, you don't move away from your purpose. And it's something for me that purpose should not really be something that you change every year, but it's going to be for whatever growth or change that you need to embark on, you need to be through to your purpose. And being able to, especially CEOs, need to make sure that they really protect the purpose. The second part for me is why do you want to change? What is busy happening that is forcing you to take action? That must be fully understood, because that is going to be your rallying point, and that is going to be your burning platform for you to rally your organization, including your shareholders, the board, everybody. It's really understanding that which is not working and where you necessarily see the opportunities for the business to be sustainable and grow. So for me, it goes to the why. And making sure that you take all of those stakeholders with you. And then the next question is where to start. I find that the start, people always miss it. People want to start big. You need to really pace yourself. You need to make sure that you convince the market that the step that you're taking is quite measured. And you need to prove, you know, that with that first step that you're taking, you can demonstrate to the market that, you know, you know what you're doing, especially if you're in an area that you are not, you've not been part of. So you're going to create confidence with the market with your first step. Therefore, your first step cannot be a risky step. We have talked a lot, you know, internally about looking at assets in Africa. And we know that we had a bad experience with Mayoko project in the DRC. And we talk amongst ourselves to say, we need to be extremely careful when you go to market, you know, that you use the investors' money in places that they have confidence in. And then you make things happen after that. Then you can scale up. And obviously taking people with you. I think I cannot repeat that enough. So that would be for me, my big stories, getting the right skills in place. You don't always have skills, and don't be scared to go out and get skills. But be very careful how you send messages to the organization in terms of ownership by the people of that organization. But if you don't have the skills, you go out and get the skills and get down to business.
Fantastic. Nombasa, this was a great conversation. I really appreciate it and giving from your valuable time to come and speak to us. To those listening, more management insights, more innovations to come in our next podcast episode. We've got a few of those lined up. So please stay tuned. More information on our website or on LinkedIn. We'll post those well in advance. Nombasa, thanks again. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll hear more of you and your team doing great things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sai. It's been my pleasure.
Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Join us next time for more business news, views, and insights from across the globe.